This week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Campers Inn. Find your family's next RV at campersinn.com.
And by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com. And by RVTrader.com. If you are looking to sell your RV, head over to RVTrader.com/sell and enter coupon code RVFTA5OFF to receive a special discount. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode, we are giving you the tools to become a fierce RV weekend warrior. Our listeners are constantly telling us that they want to camp more. So we are sharing our best tips for spending weekends at the campground with as little fuss as possible.
Plus, we will share two of our recent weekend warrior adventures. Our first trip of the season took us south to Annapolis in Washington, D.C. And last weekend, we went about 15 miles up the road to celebrate a birthday with friends.
You might think you are limited to a week-long camping trip every year, but we know that you can up your campground game by becoming a well-trained weekend warrior. You are listening to episode number 83, Becoming a Weekend Warrior, Part 1.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Becoming a Weekend Warrior, Part 1, it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup. And this week's News Roundup is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. When you sign up for an RV policy, you can also sign up for Total Loss Replacement, an optional protection that replaces your new RV with the current model if it's declared a total loss in the first 2 years. Get a quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV, and a big welcome on board to our friends at Progressive. Now, we gave away a Camco sewer hose kit this past week on our Instagram account, and that got people mighty excited. There's a lot of people out there who wanted a fresh new sewer hose kit.
So many people entered to win that. But what was funny was we announced on last podcast who won it, and then we got a really cute comment.
Well, this Jay Landro is a cute guy.
Jay Landro. He commented on Instagram and said that he was like in an airplane flying, listening to our podcast on his headphones when he heard his name, and he started like yelling, I guess. He was a little too exuberant, I think.
I think he frightened some people around him on the plane.
He was excited, and people, you know, people don't like excited people on planes. So.
I love the thought of someone like flying way high up in the air, listening to our RV podcast, dreaming of being back down on the ground.
I know. Notice how we're very sneaky and we don't really announce on social media for like a few days, like who won, because we like to hear from our winners.
And I'm glad this winner was listening to the show.
Right. It's like a test. Are you listening? Do you hear your name called? Yeah, we'd like to test our listeners.
So now we need to announce the winners of the two BB Begonia outdoor rugs. And those were 2 4x6 outdoor rugs, really nice, high quality rugs from a small Canadian company. We really recommend them. Who were the two big winners for these rugs, Stephanie?
All right, so you could win over on Instagram. We had Brett2077 is our winner.
Congratulations.
From over on Instagram. And then you could also enter into the contest hopper on our website. And that winner was H. Queen. All right. So if you won on Instagram, we're going to inbox you for your info. And if you won on Contest Hopper, I'm emailing you for your info. Congratulations.
And the giveaways continue now. We're on a mad streak of giveaways. This is one of the most expensive items we've ever given away, if not the most expensive item we've given away. It's the RV Lock 4.0, kind of like I'm Jeremy 4.0, you know.
Oh, is that what we're in now?
Jeremy 12.0.
How many we've gone through? How many versions?
which is a $175 retail price. And I think people are going to be really excited to win this RV Lock.
Yeah.
It's a really cool product. And so, Stephanie, tell everyone how they can win the one RV Lock that we're giving away.
Yeah. So we're doing this on Instagram because we like it. All right. We'll put up a picture in the next week, and we will put up a picture of the RV lock. And you are going to, we've been doing this, it's going to be the same thing. You need to follow us. You need to follow RV Lock. You need to like the post, and you need to tag a friend.
And you always say, tag another RV fool. And
yeah, because like if it's not an RV fool.
Now, don't panic if this Instagram post doesn't go up immediately after the podcast. Sometimes we wait till Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like, wait for it. Wait for it. Keep your eye on the Instagram account.
They've been going up on Tuesday or Wednesday. A little midweek action.
Yeah, a little midweek fun. You got to keep the middle of the week fun, too.
We should do it on hump day. We should just call it,
hump
day.
It should be a hump day. The hump day giveaway. It should be the hump day giveaway.
All right.
So we have two big save the dates here for everybody. The first one is our rally, which is June 3rd to 5th at Lake and Wood Campground in Narvon, PA. We have lots of families coming. I mean, do we have something like 100 people coming? I mean, that's counting the kids, because we do count the kids.
They do count.
At an RVFTA rally. And they're going to be running around.
They make noise and they eat. They count, right?
They're going to be running around like crazy.
I'm so excited. We had a blast at our last two rallies. But what is even more exciting to me for this rally is we are going to be meeting families that have been interacting with us as listeners for like a year
or longer.
There are people coming from like far away.
Georgia.
Chicago area. I mean, like, really.
We should have a prize for the family who travels from the furthest away.
Don't give that stuff away. We plan all that stuff. Don't give it all away.
Now somebody from California is going to show up and like, give me an RV lock.
They want the swag. Karen knows. They want the swag.
So the sites we reserved are gone, but the campground is not sold out. So you can definitely still get a spot at the campground. You just won't be in that immediate area right by the rally. But you can like rent a golf cart or bring your bikes or a skateboard or just drive your car over to the rally.
Yeah.
It's a big campground.
Or have your kids pull you like sled dogs. I don't know.
That could work. We have another big announcement, too, and another save the date. So we are really excited to be appearing at the Balloon Festival in Reddington, New Jersey from July 29th to 31st, Friday through Sunday. We're going to be there with Progressive, with Flo's Road Trip. We hung out with them back at the Hershey Show in the fall, and we're really excited to be kind of meeting up with Flo's Road Trip again this summer at this Balloon Festival. So yeah, save the date.
Yeah, we'll have lots of details in the future about the events there and what's going to happen. But for now, just mark it on your calendar if you can make the trip. This is an amazingly popular event in northern New Jersey, and you really should come and check it out if you can make the drive.
Yeah, and we'll do something fun with our podcast listeners too. We'll give you more information soon.
So then I also have this week's forum thread of the week. And I wanted to talk about all of the great responses to the spring resolutions post that I put up under the podcast topics forum. Okay. So there's a podcast topics forum, and I go in and I said, oh, you know, if you listen to this week's podcast about our spring resolutions, we want to hear about yours. And these were great responses. I am not going to pick and choose a couple of responses to read because I really feel like people will like feel like I'm playing favorites on spring resolutions.
My resolution wasn't good enough.
I don't want to do
that. Well, then they can resolve to have a better resolution read on air.
Well, there were a lot and they were all really thoughtful and great. So I didn't want to like pick two and read the whole thing. So what I did was I just made a list of some ones that were very different than ours, and they just showed up in all of these different resolutions, right? So there was bike riding, food prep, learning how to operate every part of the trailer, more kayaking, more hiking, being more active, getting better at RV organization, more camping with family and friends, and to camp at least 30 nights. That was just a smattering. If you have a resolution to add, go over to our forum, find this thread, and add it in on the bottom. We'd love to read your resolutions.
We have had multiple people, multiple friends and podcast listeners say they want to hit the 30 night mark. And I feel like there's just like something out there in the air in RV Nation where like a lot of families feel like, I have the RV, I want to do 30 nights. Like, people are RVing more than they ever have, I think.
Yeah.
They're spending more days at the campground, partly because people are doing a lot of weekends. They're
right.
Not just, you know, doing that week-long trip.
Well, that's the origin of this series, this two-part series of podcasts. So many people tell us they want to camp more. I want to camp more. I want to camp more. But real life gets in the way, right?
Work.
Yeah. So what we realized is if you really want to camp more, it's not going to be about taking more long trips,
at
right?
At least for like 90% of people. It's not going to be adding a week's vacation because you're not going to have it.
Yeah. The key is to really maximizing your weekends at the campground when you can. So we thought, well, let's do this. Well, of course, it got bigger and bigger. And we realized we could not put all of the great content that we had into one single episode. So we're splitting it up into two parts. All right. Do you want me to explain what they are? What the two parts
are? Episodes on becoming a weekend warrior, getting the most out of your weekends, or doing as many weekends as you can.
Yeah. So on this episode, part one, we are going to give six tips. Okay. Just we've got a bullet list of six tips to get more camping into your life. Ways to make weekend trips easier, because we know that they can be stressful and difficult.
And we'll try not to just make them bullet points. We'll try to make them like funny and interesting and enlightening.
Yeah. So then next week is food, because we realize that the most difficult thing for most people about weekend trips is food. It's getting it together during the work week before, right? It's like making time for all that grocery shopping and food prep and everything.
And cleaning up after.
Yeah, and getting it all back into the RV.
48 or, 50 hours that we
have. So we're going to devote an entire episode to that. Now, in that episode, we are going to share just our undying affection for Fireside Provisions.
Really big crush on Fireside Provisions.
Like
such a company crush.
I love this company.
I thought we would like the food.
Yeah.
I was blown away by the food last weekend that we had from Fireside Provisions.
And before that.
And to some degree, part two of this Weekend Warrior series is just so that we can run an interview with the CEO of the company and then rave about the food.
This is the evolution of this Fireside Provisions crush. I originally wanted to include them on our spring gear guide. Just have a, food element of it. So, I reached out. Oh, do you want me to try? Oh, yeah, this is great. Okay, we try it. I'm like, this is good. When we got our first box, it was scones, but I was in love. So I reached out to him. I said, you know what? This is a great product. Can I interview you? So then I said, okay, now we're going to have an interview.
And he was like all nice and interesting and whatnot.
Then we got our second box for a weekend trip. And I was like, forget it. You get an entire episode because I am so in love with your product.
We think a lot of you out there are going to be ordering boxes from Fireside Provisions. So we're going to come back in a second after a message from a sponsor. And we're going to really like help you become a weekend warrior. Are we not?
We are. Choosing the right RV dealership is as important as choosing the right RV.
Campers Inn has thousands of RVs to choose from and has been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years.
In 1966, Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons Bob, David, and Jeff, invested their family's life savings to buy four folding tent trailers, selling them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts.
Their dream was to build a hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life.
50 years and three generations later, Campers Inn RV is the nation's largest family-operated dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast.
Their professional staff and certified trained service personnel are driven by the commitment to treat each customer fairly and with respect.
Find your family's next RV at campersinn.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our feature topic, Becoming a Weekend Warrior, Part One. And I am really happy about doing this show because I feel like it's something that matters to our podcast listeners, getting the most out of their RV weekends.
Yeah, it was tough for us when we first started. We've been kind of honing our weekend warrior craft for about 6 years now. And
we have been honing our craft.
We're ready to share some of our tips.
I mean, we're able to pull off really fun, adventurous, exciting weekends. And I'm not going to say we don't, come home tired, right? for that Monday of work. But we're able to pull off some awesome weekend trips. We've made some awesome memories just doing those two-night RV trips that a lot of people avoid because of how much work is involved, right?
Yep.
So we have 7 tips for becoming a better weekend warrior. The first tip, and to some degree, am I putting on my Captain Obvious cape for this one, do you think? Use your vacation days and take a Friday off or a Monday, okay? Or just take a half day and arrive early. Now, I know that some of you are saying, well, I can't do that. And maybe that's the case. And we respect that. You know, it's if you can't, you can't. But a lot of people out there can. A lot of people out there can take a Friday or a Monday or a half day.
The numbers show that over half of the American population does not use all of their vacation days. So while there are people out there that truly may not have the flexibility to tack time on to a weekend, the numbers that economists, you know, that
show.
Well,
the camping industry cites those numbers a lot because they want people using those days to go to their campgrounds.
Yeah, but you know who else cites it? Therapists. I mean, the bottom line is that even work productivity experts, they really argue that it is counterproductive that Americans do not take their vacation time, that companies should want their workers.
You're a better worker.
Yes, to do this because everybody does better. Everybody comes back feeling more refreshed and feeling more energetic when they do take their days. So if you're one of those people that says, I can't do this because you feel like it's not the work culture, you know, that's tricky. But maybe you need to like dig deep and say, this is a priority because I could get my whole day's work done in that half day and leave in good shape to come back on Monday morning.
Exactly. And then maybe it means working a little bit later Thursday night. I know sometimes for both of us, when we've done a 3-day weekend, that just means we've got to work harder during the week. So if you can, consider it, because I've always said a 3-day camping trip, a 3-day weekend is twice as good as a 2-day weekend.
Yeah, it makes all the difference in the world. You really, really unwind when you have that extra day.
Because you have 2 full days at the campground. So if you take off Friday and you leave Thursday night, you have all day Friday, all day Saturday, then Sundays to travel, as opposed to just one single full day at the campground.
And we've all taken like our mental health days, right? We call them mental health days from school or whatever, from work. So isn't it better to take one of those and do something that actually may restore your energy and spirit?
You know, I recommend doing it on the up and up too. We don't want anyone faking a tummy ache and then feeling guilty the whole weekend when you're away camping.
No, and we were always very good examples of that because we thought even as we were doing this, we thought we never wanted to like be on social media or anything.
Well, we've heard from so many friends. We're like, I called out sick and went on a trip and my boss saw my picture on Facebook that I put there.
Let's focus on that half day thing too, because you know, maybe your job really just doesn't allow you or your boss doesn't want you to take all day Friday off. But to say, hey, I'm going to come in and work a half day and be gone at noon, that's really terrific for a weekend camping trip because you can, at least for where we live, you beat the traffic, right?
Yeah, not just beating the traffic. We did this past weekend. We got to the campground on the earlier side, like in that 3 o'clock range. And you feel in a way like you've been there all day. It was super warm. It was like in the high 70s. We had a bunch of friends there already. Everybody was lounging around. Like it was 4:30 in the afternoon. We're all sitting there. Like it felt like paradise just to be sitting and set up and all ready to go for the weekend.
We had a lovely Friday afternoon at the campground. If we had left at 5 o'clock at night, you know, you're getting in late, you're setting
dinner
up.
Dinner time.
And it's time for bed, right?
Yep. Dinner and bed.
Number two, our second tip, limit the travel time because if it's a weekend, you don't have a lot of time to begin with. So find campgrounds that are closer than home and, you know, like a 2-hour window at the most. I don't think you want to be driving more than that. If you have something good within a 1-hour window, even better. Less time in the car equals more time at the campground, even if there's some awesome campground you want to see 4 hours away, maybe that's not the way to go for a short weekend trip.
Yeah, I would challenge yourself to find as many good campgrounds in that 2-hour radius. Now, we have less because we have New York City to our, like, north, and we have the ocean to our east. So we really don't even have as much of a radius as most people do.
And the Philadelphia metro area down to the south, too. Yeah. We're surrounded by non-camping zones.
Yeah. So, but a lot of you can really look at a map and say, you know what? We've never kind of headed in this direction, and there might be a really sweet, relaxing campground to the southwest.
I'm always
jealous
of those campers out there in Colorado and Utah, and you just know they're surrounded on in all four directions by great campgrounds. We're not, unfortunately.
No.
But limit the time in the car because you want to spend more time at the campground. Our third tip, find that close-to-home campground, you know, half an hour away, an hour away, and consider a camping trip for a celebration, a birthday, a special occasion that you might normally spend at home. We celebrated Wesley's birthday at the campground last weekend.
Yeah, so if you block out all of those weekends where you have any sort of special occasion or a sports event, you're going to block out a lot of weekends on your calendar. We're a family. We're learning this. I mean, we have kids that are in sports now. And they have been now for a couple of years. But, of course, with every year, the, like, importance and the intensity, like, ratchets up a little bit. And we really want to support that with our boys. They really love their sports. And we want to be behind them 100% on that. So if you block out all of those weekends, it's going to make it very difficult to squeeze in weekend trips. But that's okay, because if you find a campground close to home, then you can go away on a celebration weekend. Like Wes's birthday, all of our friends came to the campground.
And some of our friends live closer to the campground
than we do.
That we went to, than they do to our house.
So I was able to invite just all of my, like, my friends.
He had a shebang.
Yeah, and everybody just, you know, found their way to the campground and showed up, and all the kids played. Oh my gosh, they had such a good time.
It was a terrific birthday.
None of the
party.
Kids wanted to leave. It was so relaxed and low key. I mean, I didn't throw like a bash. He's three.
Campground's a great place to have a birthday party, and if there's one close enough to home that you can get the family and friends there, what a great way to spend the weekend. We have also had a tradition for many years of camping on Mother's Day. And I know a lot of families out there say, oh, can't camp this weekend. It's Mother's Day. Well, why not?
Well, you
why
can
not
go.
Take a camping? Bring your mother. Bring your grandmother.
Or you can still go camping and then go to that Sunday brunch with your mom that you have as a tradition. You can still attend like the family tradition that week if you do find a campground that's even 40 minutes away. It's no big deal to drive 40 minutes for Sunday brunch. Right?
Well, you know, I stick with the idea of maybe renting a cabin and bringing the in-laws, bringing grandma.
But grandma.
Not our grandma.
Here, no,
I have suggested her coming. And I'm like, Ma, you could stay in a deluxe cabin.
No.
The word deluxe doesn't matter when the word cabin is attached to it. Not for my mother.
She's never stepped foot on a campground.
I've tried so hard. But look, we camp on Mother's Day.
Yeah. And that's okay. You can go off and you can still be involved in local, you know, traditions with family. Now, that's the same thing for sports. And we have actually done this. It's a weekend. There's a game, and we're going to do it this spring too with Little League. Go and you can camp all weekend and still make that 10:30 Saturday morning Little League
game. We're going to do that again this spring.
Yeah. So, you know, don't block out an entire weekend just because of sports events or a special occasion. Like, even if you have a shower, right? That happens. Like, with a lot of women, be like, oh, I have a bridal shower on this weekend. If you find a great close to home campground, you can go there, enjoy the entire weekend, and just head out for a few hours on that Saturday or Sunday for your shower.
I think, too, that if you have a campground that's close to home that allows you to still, you know, take the kids to the T-ball game or whatever, maybe it doesn't have to be your all-time favorite campground either, because you're still going to get to go, have the campfire experience, spend time in the great outdoors. You know, maybe you need to be a little less picky, too, to some degree.
Yeah, maybe. It just, you know, the point is, when you're doing that, it's just to reset, right? To unwind a little bit, to take that, like, deep breath. You don't have to be far away from home to take that deep breath. So it's nice.
Right. Now, our fourth tip is possibly kind of a radical suggestion from coming from RV Family Travel Atlas. But I think this could make a lot of sense for a lot of people. Consider a seasonal RV site. Now, if you're a person that works really hard and you're just getting your 1 week vacation, and the rest of your RV time or week is spent on weekends, maybe you should park your RV at a seasonal site, at a good campground, an hour, 2 hours away. And then when Friday rolls around, you just hop in the car, throw in some fresh clothes and some groceries, and your RV is already there. It's already parked for you. It's ready to go. You're not hitching up. You're not dealing with the work of hitching up and setting up the camper, then breaking down the camper and bringing it home. You can buy yourself a lot more campground time. Now, we love to travel and go to different places. And we're lucky that we have time to travel. But if you're a really busy person or an entrepreneur or have a job that does not allow for a lot of time off, I think a seasonal site is a terrific and affordable way to spend a lot of time at the campground. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's an important option for people to consider, because so many campgrounds are becoming really like almost little vacation home like groups. You know, it's like a little bit of a shift in the industry, and we're definitely seeing
a shift towards more luxurious seasonal sites and campgrounds that are catering to seasonals. Being a seasonal is not like you're parking it at a trailer park anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the nicest places have heavy seasonals.
Yeah, and last fall, we got an email from a listener who described his tailgate seasonal that they had at his campground. And his campground, they do fall seasonals. So after the main, high season of the summer, you can buy a seasonal site for the fall, so that, they like to go to the campground every single weekend. And I guess everybody did like sort of tailgating and watch the football games and everything from that campground. And we heard that, we're like, that's a great idea.
Brilliant.
If we lived near to a campground that had that sort of program in the fall, I really think we might take it up.
So the campgrounds don't have high occupation Monday night or Sunday night through Thursday night. So a lot of them are willing to say, look, we'll just charge you basically for weekends and give you a really great price, and you can leave the RV here. I think it's a brilliant idea, even if it's just for September and October. And you better believe, if we had a campground an hour away that did a deal like that that we really liked, I would love to park the RV somewhere for all of September and all of October when we're getting I'm getting busy with the school year and the boys are playing soccer and all that stuff.
Yeah, and you might want to sniff around, too, and see if any of the campgrounds – don't make a sniffing noise. But honestly, it's not something that you may even realize happens at a lot of campgrounds. You might have to dig a little, but there might be a campground around you that does that. And I don't know, it really piqued my interest. So I think it's a great idea. Check it out if you want to camp more.
Okay, great. We will be back in a second after a sponsored message from our friends over at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks.
Award-winning Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories.
Whether you are an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comfort of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities.
From amazing water zones to mini golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds.
And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home.
Visit campjellystone.com to find a Jellystone park near you.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have three more great tips for you. We really want to help you become weekend warriors who maximize your time at the campgrounds and pack in a lot of really fun and adventurous weekend trips. Okay? So our fifth tip, and I really like this one, and I think that we've gotten pretty good at doing this, is to prepare incrementally throughout the week for the weekend. So instead of going crazy Thursday night or coming home from work Friday and pulling it together, do a little bit Monday night, a little bit Tuesday night, a little bit Wednesday, a little bit Thursday, all of a sudden you're ready to go on Friday.
Yeah, we actually started doing this years ago. It became my strategy for weekend trips. Was I would do like anything that you could do ahead of time, I would take care of Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, like packing clothes, right? And how awesome was it? Because I would pack those packing cubes and then they'd be ready to go. And in the process, I'd also kind of get ahead of the laundry. Like that was my goal. I'd be like a little more laundry conscious so that I wasn't coming back to loads of laundry that next week. So I'd like do all the loads of laundry and pack those packing cubes and everything was all set there. Bedding, okay? I'd do ahead of time. basically anything non-perishable would be totally done by Wednesday night. And I would say a half hour each night. You know, you could spend just a half hour packing a little bit.
And that is so much better than 2 hours Thursday night. Or, I mean, we know people that get home from work Friday and then put 2 hours into packing and then they get to the campground at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Then you set a reminder in your phone for Wednesday to turn on the refrigerator because your refrigerator needs 24
you
hours
always
to
remind
cool.
me. Ours doesn't need quite 24. It'll cool off in 8. But
I like it on a while. I want it to be nice and cold. So
yeah,
set a reminder.
To plug in the fridge.
And then on Thursday night, you pack the food. And hopefully, then there's only – the only thing you have left to do on Friday is technology because we can't pack our, like, computers and everything
or the
ahead
book you're reading.
Time.
Also, we have on occasion hitched up the trailer Thursday night. Now, obviously, that depends on your work situation Friday and who's taking what car. But for some of you who have a tow vehicle that can be hitched up Thursday night and just be ready to go on Friday, that can save you a lot of time too.
Yeah. So then – what I would do is all I had to do on Thursday was pack up the food, and we'll talk more about food next week because there's some strategies for keeping it really simple. And then I would do, once the boys were all in bed, like not a deep clean of the house, but like a pretty decent cleaning
you
and straightening.
You really like to leave the house clean.
I do.
For the weekend. And God bless you. I love you for it. It is really nice coming home to a clean house on Sunday. I, on the other hand, am willing to leave an explosion behind to get to the campground quickly.
Yeah, one of our earliest pop-up camper trips had you like kind of hitched up and ready to go by the time I got home from work because I used to commute fairly far up north. So you would get home earlier on Fridays and you had everything done and the boys all packed up. And I would finally come after battling Friday traffic to get home. And I walked in and there was like dishes in the sink. Like there was like crud in the sink, like food.
That's
and I'm like,
the first time we've ever said crud on our podcast.
I was like, you don't leave the house. You're like, we're ready to go. And I'm like,
well, it's stressful
no.
to come home to the crud.
No,
as
like
it
you
were.
Do not leave food in the sink, like little like Cheerios in the sink trainer. Like, no, you don't do that, right? Like,
Stephanie hates soggy Cheerios in the sink.
Gosh, just scrape your bowl, people. Just scrape your bowl. Okay. So that kind of a thing, I cannot feel relaxed if I come back on a Sunday.
You would literally be thinking about it while we were camping.
Yeah, crud in the sink, crud in the sink.
Soggy Cheerios. That's what I'm coming home to.
So I would do a very religious sort of like straightening, basic cleaning of the house, quick like little dust, little vacuum, and then get everything nice so that when we came back on Sunday, it just made all the difference.
Yeah, come back and relax a little bit and kind of get ready for the week. Now, number six, I think number six is a really quality tip gleaned from our 6 years of RVing. Splurge for a late checkout on Sunday. And sometimes you don't have to splurge at all. So most campgrounds will charge you for a late checkout, but a lot of them will also just let you stay late if no one's coming in. And guess what? You know, most campgrounds don't have people coming in Sunday night, particularly in the spring and the fall where most of us are getting our weekend camping trips in. So we often recommend splurging for the late checkout or asking if it's for free. So instead of having to leave at 12 o'clock on Sunday, you can leave at 4 o'clock and get a full day of adventure in and really do a major activity, some fishing, some kayaking, some sightseeing.
Yeah, so let's clarify for maybe some of our listeners who haven't done this. An average checkout is between 11 and 12 on the day that you're leaving.
You're not doing anything Sunday.
Right. So that usually means Sunday is like you get up, you get breakfast, the kids go to the playground, you're hanging out, maybe a bike ride, but then you're basically just packing up, which means that you just have your Saturday pretty much as a full day of relaxation. But if you splurge for a late checkout, what we do is we go to the manager of the office and we say, is anybody coming in on our site and can we get a late checkout? And we don't offer money until they ask for it.
They say it's $5 an hour. Fine. We're not trying to work the system. Right. We don't just stay.
So then if they say, sure, it costs $5 an hour, which is what we paid at the Capital KOA a couple
weekends
ago. That's
the most we've paid. We paid $20 for a four-hour late checkout, but we went into D.C. and did the cherry blossoms.
Yeah, it was worth it. We wanted to do that. So then we went. We left early in the morning. We came. We did an entire activity. In that case, it was the cherry blossoms in downtown D.C., and then we came back to the campground and we were on the road at about 4, which is later than we would normally do it, but we were like totally in weekend warrior mode.
Yeah, and if you're coming home to the clean house, you know, I don't think there's such a big problem in getting home a little bit later Sunday night.
Our normal time to leave the campground, if we're checking out late, is 3 o'clock. So the general game plan for us is leave by 3, be home by 5, and order a pizza.
We do, yeah. That works nicely.
We're gonna be
honest, don't worry
here.
About making dinner Sunday night. You know,
yeah.
Order some Chinese food, order a pizza, keep it simple.
Yeah, so we get home just in time for dinner, but we're not stressed out about hungry kids because we know we're just going to order pizza that night and it's going to be a fun little pizza night.
And I have so many great memories of Sundays at the campground, either kayaking at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA or doing the cherry blossoms in D.C., where if you just pack up and leave at 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm thinking, man, all those people who just stayed at home are getting like a full day off or a full day of fun, and I'm not.
It's all about what other people are getting.
Number 7, our last tip. You call it SWAT Team Sunday. So when we get home from the campground, we have a pretty specific strategy with how we deal for unpacking the RV as a family. Tell us more.
Yeah, we actually did this on a podcast episode. I don't know what podcast episode it was. I'll have to dig. But remember, we did our strategies for unpacking. We did offer like 5 of our learned tips for unpacking at some point in the past. And I'm not sure what podcast episode that was. But at this point, it takes us pretty much 90 minutes. I would say from start to finish.
Maybe an hour if we're really flying.
We really focus. And this is all hands on deck. The kids do not get to just go play. They have entered into the phase of their life, including our 3-year-old, where we give them very specific tasks to do when we get home, including bringing in their packing cubes, right? So everything comes in and everything gets unpacked and put away. If you only pack one packing cube per person for a weekend trip, which is plenty of clothes you can fit in there for the weekend, you can dump every single one of those clothes from the packing cubes into the laundry and do one load. It's possible if you pack right. And I like to do it that way because I think they might smell like campfire smoke or something, even if it's clean.
You like to say, like, don't sit down until the camper's unpacked. And
yeah.
You might be tired and you are pushing a little bit. You are straining a little bit at that point. But you really can get the whole RV unpacked quickly if the kids participate, if your kids are old enough to participate.
Yeah. So the kids do all of that. You, like, bring things into the house. I stand in the house and basically put everything away, like the food, you know, any leftovers, whatever. So I sit there and do all that, and the house was already clean when we came in. So once we put everything away, there's not much left to do. And I guarantee that we're sitting, eating our pizza, and I, you know, watching like a movie or whatever it
Some
is.
Some Andy
just
Griffith
relaxing.
And a slice by 6 p.m. on
yeah.
Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had a big family adventure. All right. Well, those were our 7 tips for becoming weekend warriors. We're going to have a sponsored message from our friends over at RV Trader. And we're going to come back and tell you about our last 2 weekend trips where we were weekend warriors. Back in a second.
If you've been dreaming about RVing but aren't quite sure where to start, RV Trader can help you find the right RV for you and your family.
Check out their blog, which has helpful articles on new units entering the market, travel tips, events, and other helpful resources.
Also, icons on the homepage will help you search for towable units or motorhomes, and you can select a specific manufacturer or price range to narrow your results and find RVs near you.
And lastly, if you're looking to sell your current RV or trade it up for another one, RVTrader.com can help you do that too. Add photos, a description, and contact info, and buyers will contact you directly for more information.
RV Trader has everything you need to find or sell your RV.
To start your search today, visit RVTrader.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Now, Stephanie and I have been weekend warriors these past 2 weekends. We kicked off the RV season in style with 2 really, really fun weekend trips, and they could not have been more different than one another. So a couple weeks ago, I got an email from work saying, sorry for the short notice, but school will be closed tomorrow because we are sanitizing the building because there are so many kids sick.
And you were like, that's okay.
I was like, game on. And Stephanie and I started packing the RV immediately. Like, we decided very quickly, It was still March at that point, right? So most of our campgrounds weren't open, but we knew you head down to Maryland, D.C. area, Annapolis area. There's some great campgrounds open. We packed up, we hitched up, and we headed out. We had an awesome, spontaneous weekend RV trip.
Yeah, the boys were actually on their spring break, and we thought you were going to be working, but we suddenly had a three-day weekend. And it's like, you have a three-day weekend, you go. And because it was a three-day weekend, we did feel like we could stretch the drive a little bit. We knew that we could be on the road early Friday.
Yeah, we didn't go for three nights. We left Friday morning.
Mm-hmm. And then we could do something on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and do the late checkout. Okay, so it was worth that extra drive down to D.C. I think it took us about 3.5 hours to get there with traffic on 95, which is just something that you're always going to have in our area. So we decided to stay at the Capital KOA for this trip. Now, we have talked about D.C. on a couple of different podcasts in the past. On episode number 65, we did Opting Outside in Washington, D.C. And on that episode, we did a campground smackdown between the Capital KOA
and Cherry Hill.
And Cherry Hill, right. So if you want to know like how we feel about those two options for camping, go back and listen to that. This time, we decided to go to the Capital KOA because we really wanted to spend time in Annapolis.
Yeah, Capital KOA, if you want to do D.C. one day and Annapolis another day, I think it's a better option than Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill's really close to D.C., so if you want to go purely D.C., go Cherry Hill.
Yeah, because it's frustrating to drive all the way from Capital KOA
to D.C. It's 45 minutes, but then Annapolis is like 10 minutes. So, and Annapolis is beautiful. It's a really underrated place to go spend some time and hang out. It's a great place to, like, for a romantic trip, and it's a fun place to bring the kids. Now, you zoned in on doing the United States Naval Academy tour. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. I am so glad. I don't know what it was that made you really want to do that this time.
Because I've been trying to get to that tour for ages, and we really like Annapolis, and we just have not gone on the guided tour of the Naval Academy there. And that was something I wanted to do. And then, of course, we've mentioned this before. I don't want to, like, you know, beat a dead horse here, but our kids are good at tours now. Like, they're at that age where
awesome.
They get so enthralled.
And I don't want to be – I'm not that parent that's like, my kids are good all the time, because they're not. They were good on this tour. They were good for the entire time because they were interested.
Yeah.
They were engaged. They were learning, and they were enjoying it as much as we did.
Some basic information about this tour. They run on the half hour every day, okay, except, like, they're closed on, like, you know, some major holidays like Christmas and Thanksgiving. Look that up online, all right? So they book up on busy days. And I had called ahead, and I had talked to the guy on the phone at the visitor center to get a little bit of intel, because that's how we roll here. And I said, oh, well, you know, can I make reservations? No, you just show up. He gave me no indication that we wouldn't just be able to jump on a tour when we got there. Well, about 2 tours were already booked up. So we had to wait. Like, we got there at 11:30 thinking that we could get the 12 o'clock. No, we didn't end up getting, like, we were on the 1 o'clock.
It still was okay, though, because just walking around, we kind of took in the sights of the academy.
And it was awesome. Yeah, it was fine, but I just want people to know. Like, we were there at a busy time. It was it's a holiday weekend, being spring break. It was also peak season for cherry. It's also peak weekend for cherry blossoms. So we were there at a very busy touristy time, but there is a family cost ticket that you can pay $35, and no matter how many people you have in your family, it will cover all of you.
Terrific bargain.
Yeah. Or you can buy individual tickets for $10.50 for the adults, $8.50 for the children. Preschool kids are free. Worth every penny, right?
The best tour guide we've ever had. Mm-hmm. She was theatrical. She was well-informed.
Yeah, Janet.
She was warm. She was complimenting our children's behavior. Love you for that,
well,
Janet.
Janet had that quality that some Janet was, you know, she was a retired folk, you know.
And from a Navy family.
And she was one of 5 children, and I think 4 of her brothers were in the Navy. Okay, she comes from like long stock, Navy stock.
She knew
the ins and outs. But because of that, I think that the very first thing she said was, oh, who are the younger children? Who are the future attendees at this institution? That is what she said at the very beginning. Children, come up front. Adults, stand to the side.
That perked their ears right up. Like, oh, we could go to school here. Our boys were thinking that.
Oh, the whole time she was giving the tour, she's going, and when you come here, you may see, like, she just had this quality about her that was engaging and really, like, captivating for the kids and the adults. She was very good storyteller, and she just knew how to give you those tidbits and those details that were behind the scenes and also all the pertinent, like, information, historical
information. Yeah, you really knew what it was like to be a student at the Naval Academy and someone practicing and getting ready to be in the Navy. And it was amazing to see that behind-the-scenes action and to see all the training, the athletic training, the athletic centers, and that rich history of the Naval Academy.
So there's a movie that runs on every 15 minutes in the visitor center, and I would highly recommend watching that movie before you go on the tour. You know, some people might go, oh, I'll jump on the tour and watch the movie when we come back. The boys were really captivated by that movie. And when it first, like, opened up, I was like, oh, here goes some propaganda, right? Because it was like the Naval Academy. I was so taken by that movie. Like, it really showed you what the experience is of the plebes, right? The freshman class that comes into the academy and what they go through in their training. Fascinating. Loved the movie.
And there's such a focus on service, you know, in the way that everyone talks about the Naval Academy, that they're there to serve the citizens of the country. And it was touching, and it hit a nerve for me in terms of patriotism and just being proud of the country we live in and proud of the people that serve.
Yeah, so the boys, I feel like, were captivated by that movie, and like they were really taken by the whole pushing logs thing. Like, I can't tell you how many times they've talked about how they have to push logs, you know, because they were like rolling the logs.
Yeah, it's showing that boot camp kind of training. Yeah, the boys were like impressed.
Oh, they have to roll logs, you know. And then I think that got them more interested in the tour. 90-minute tour. Well, they were like gems. I mean, the entire time.
These young men and women are impressive. And when you see what they do and how they do it, if you're not impressed, you know, you got a problem.
You know? You do it.
Yeah, it's like, you give that a try, right?
See how that goes for you.
Yeah, you just see what they do. It's like, man, it blows me away.
Yeah.
Now, that's not the only thing to do in Annapolis, right? There are all kinds of other cool options in Annapolis. So what else did we do? What else did we check out? Where did we eat?
We went to the bookstore, of course, the Annapolis bookstore.
Which we got lucky because we parked by the Annapolis bookstore right outside of the Naval Academy. I didn't even really know it was there. I wasn't looking for it. But it was a charming...
funny.
I know.
Coincidence.
What a coinky dink. Parked right by it. charming used bookstore. Real local center, real third place kind of location, and a great coffee shop in the back.
Yeah, I think that if you had sort of the quintessential ideal of a used bookstore, this might be it. I mean, just stacks and stacks of that combination of like your classics and also your just contemporary fiction bestsellers. And they were like when I say stacks, like wobbly stacks.
Yeah, the teeter-tottering wobbly stacks that just sort of the hallmarks of a great used bookstore. I was going to say Stephanie and I love going to used bookstores when we travel. I love going to used bookstores when we travel. What I'd like to point out, though, is that, like, who bought a book?
Yeah, well, because I have to read books now. I can't read on my Kindle.
Because you're modeling reading.
And I forgot my book.
Hey, anyone
so
out there.
So I said, well, let me run in. And I actually got a book that, you know, I wanted to read. So.
Anyone out there listening, I want to put up something on the forum asking you, like, the coolest used bookstore you found in your RV travels. I'd love to get that thread going on the forum. And I know that some of you out there have made some great discoveries. Now, we had amazing food in Annapolis. A recommendation from Jane and Michael Stern's Road Food, which is just like the book that is always at our side when we travel in the RV. Where did we eat and what did we eat?
Well, I'm going to be honest here, and I'm going to say that we made a major, major mess up before we went to Chick and Ruth's Deli.
We did.
We knew we were parked near the Naval Academy because you have to park outside on street parking to go into the Naval Academy. There's no like visitor center parking lot. So we actually had a good spot a few blocks up. So Chick and Ruth's Deli is across town, but Annapolis is not that big. And we went to the bookstore and then we decided, let's drive over to Chick and Ruth's Deli.
Stupid. We weren't that far away.
No. we were probably 0.3 miles away, really.
Yeah, we just didn't think it through. That's part of that spontaneous trip where we were kind of making everything up as we went along.
Yeah, and not smart. We got in the car. We looped around, right, because a lot of one-way streets in Annapolis.
Lost our awesome parking spot.
Right, of course. That was gone in a snap. We get over to Chicken Roots. The streets are choked with traffic, okay? There was just a big rugby army versus Navy rugby match. The West Point
and
kids were down.
And guess where all those guys were going
to
eat?
They were all going to Chicken Roots.
They were all going to Chicken Roots, man. Those rugby guys and their families, they know, let me tell you, they know where to get the good food.
Big old rugby guys.
If you don't believe Jane and Michael Stern's road food, follow the rugby guys to where they're eating.
Jamming up Chicken Roots.
And it was cold and they were all in like their shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah, so it took us forever. We finally paid for a private. I want to be honest with people. Like, this is the kind of stuff that happens when you travel.
You said you're paying to park here or we're leaving. And
I
wanted to eat at Chicken Ruth's and it was $20 to park. And I was like, we're going to take the hit and pay the $20.
Yeah. So we paid private parking and we walked right across the street to Chicken Roots and had a delicious, delicious meal there. As always, their crab cakes are to die for. But I had a special dish this time that included, like, it was like a crab cake shrimp salad club sandwich. I am telling you, their crab cakes are famous, but this shrimp salad was the best shrimp salad.
Can you put up a picture in the show notes?
Yeah.
Because I took some pictures. Mm-hmm. It's annoying how you always pick the best thing. And I got a Reuben. Pastrami Reuben. Last time on episode 9,
Snore.
I said that I got my turkey Reuben and you said that's not a Reuben.
It's not.
A turkey Reuben is a Reuben.
It's a fake Reuben.
So this time, like, I was feeling like all sensitive about that and I got like a Reuben. But yours was like amazing. And what did the boys get? Did they pancake it up?
No, they had cheeseburgers.
They were in cheeseburgers. Great cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
But if you're at Chicken Roots Deli, you want to get a Reuben, you want to get
crab
cakes.
And they got a big
cakes.
Milkshake.
Food is – oh, the milkshakes are good.
They're huge. Glazed donuts
are good.
Oh, that's right. They also got – they have homemade donuts there. And somebody ordered a donut.
Somebody named Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
And I ordered a glazed donut. It was like the platonic ideal of a glazed donut. It was the best glazed donut I've ever had in my life.
Really?
I didn't really taste it.
And you didn't say anything because you didn't want to share.
It was gone, man.
Oh, my gosh. You didn't even say that was a good donut.
You did share your sandwich with me.
That was the best shrimp salad I've ever had in my life.
It kills me that you didn't finish it.
No, I finished every bite of the shrimp salad. I could not finish the whole. And then what I did was I ate off the crab cake off of like the club sandwich because I knew I couldn't eat all the bread and everything like that. So I just ate all the important parts. I do that.
Chicken Ruth's is worth the trip to Annapolis. It's got such style. It's so classic. It's such a part of the local culture. And then afterwards, you got a really nice bottle of wine. Where did you go?
Yeah, and I just say that, you know, that strip in Annapolis has lots of really nice boutique-y kind of shops.
There's a tea shop there, too.
You can get loose teas. Like, they give out that iced tea in these little cups, like, as you walk
by.
They try
to lure
you in. Yeah, lots of shops like that. Mills Fine Wine and Spirits is kind of a famous, like, in that area wine shop for the great selection that they have and just sort of, like, unique offerings and everything. So if you want to bring a bottle back to the campground, that's a good place to stop in. And then we went home and we had our campfire.
Had a great campfire. And the next day we hit the cherry blossoms in DC and we hit them at their peak. And it was beautiful and stunning.
And crowded.
And really, really crowded. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There were, as we were walking around, you hear people complaining about the crowds. And I got to say, I'm going to compliment myself here. I don't complain about crowds when I'm part of the crowd.
Yeah.
Lots of people were enjoying it because it was very enjoyable. And it didn't
Beautiful.
Stop me from enjoying it at all. It stopped me from getting good pictures because we walked around the tidal basin. We did the whole length of the tidal basin. And I have to say, like, I was so excited to take pictures of the cherry blossoms. And that was tough because of just how many people were around. I mean, there was 100 people in every photo I was taking. But then we were hungry at the end of the walk, and there was the Cherry Blossom Festival going on, and they had food there, and we got in line. We got some good food, right?
Oh, yeah. The food there was decent for fair
food. And some local
food.
Beers and things like that. And we just said, oh, let's just sit down in the park right here behind the food. And we sat there, And I got my amazing pictures of the cherry blossoms. We just sort of accidentally stumbled into a quiet section of park that were surrounded by the blossoms. And the boys started to run around and play. They climbed up into some trees. They were hanging upside down. And I got my beautiful cherry blossom photos accidentally, really. Because the ones I took around the tidal basin weren't that good.
Yeah, and there's like paddle boats there that people rent. That's like a big thing then. And they go out in the middle and everything. But we did park on the mall. We got a parking spot.
We got lucky. Look, I would not recommend to anybody to try and do that. I was praying as we drove into DC.
You get lucky. I mean, that's what happens. People are constantly pulling in and out when it's busy. So we got a spot right...
Kind of near the Lincoln.
Yeah. We started at the Martin Luther King Jr. Monument. We went all the way around the Tidal Basin back to where the Washington Monument is and cut right back to our car. It was fantastic.
It was great. And we didn't walk up into the Lincoln. We didn't walk up into the Jefferson. We've done the monuments, as you know, if you listen to the podcast. This was really about just soaking in the cherry blossoms. And it was really magnificent. We recommend you put that on the bucket list at some point in your life to do that.
Yeah.
Now, our next weekend after that was the weekend we had planned as our season opener. And that was at our local favorite at Turkey Swamp Park in Freehold, New Jersey. It's a county park. It's 15 minutes from our house. And it was an awesome, relaxing, fun weekend. We were camping with four other families that we're really good friends with. I had an absolute hoot at this kind of close to home campground, just hanging out at that. We didn't leave the campground, where that Washington, D.C., Annapolis weekend was all about activities, 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 packing it all in. We went to Turkey Swamp Park. We did not leave the campground. We had such an awesome, awesome weekend. And we left early.
We had to leave early on account of weather. And it was so funny because we had not really done anything, like because we had just gotten there on Friday and the kids just played and the adults just hung out. Because it was that dynamic, it felt like we had been there for the whole weekend. It really did feel like we had gotten a great trip out of it.
The kids played for 8 hours straight on Saturday. We had Wesley's birthday party. At 5 or 6 o'clock, no one wanted to leave. It was nice out. There was some warmth in the air. And we were all hemming and hawing. Should we leave? Should we not leave? But there were potential 60-mile-an-hour winds blowing through the area. And, you know, in an RV, that's just not a risk I want to take. I don't want to. And this was a heavily wooded, heavily treed campground where our RV is surrounded by trees that are not in very strong soil. So just the chance of a
sandy
soil, the chance of a tree landing on the RV was just too high. So we all kind of collectively said, look, we had an awesome, awesome Friday and Saturday here. It felt like it had been a full weekend. It was just really fun camping with friends.
Yeah. So, and you know, it was such an example of how you don't have to go far from home to just be able to kind of tune it out and enjoy being with each other and the kids being with each other. Our boys had a blast. And they didn't even mind leaving early because they had played. Like, they were exhausted. They were asleep.
Everyone else was leaving. All of the other families that we were with were leaving. If any of them had decided to stay, they would not have been pleased.
Yeah. And, you know, just as an example, again, keeping it real, like, of trying to keep things very simple on these weekend trips. Like, we had gone to D.C. the weekend before, and here we were camping again this weekend. And we had a ton of work to do in that middle week, and we had a lot of deadlines in that week. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to stress out making a cake. Like, I ordered one from the Wegmans that was 10 minutes away from the campground. So I actually called the place that's near the campground on like Wednesday, and I ordered his birthday cake. And then I just left during his nap, went over, I picked up his birthday cake.
Attempted nap.
Well, he did nap.
He did.
It took him a while.
Dad about an hour. Boy, that kid ran me through the ringer, man.
Yeah.
He tried every bed in the camper before he settled in mom
Goldilocks.
And dad's bed. And I let him play me. So after an hour, I was exhausted.
Yeah, you needed a nap.
And then he fell asleep.
Yeah, he took it. So then I came back with the cake and our friends showed up and, you know, we had our little celebration and he opened his presents and then all the kids just played. And to me, that's perfect. Like, you just have to find what works for you, right? And that was it was just a perfect fit of a fun celebration in a relaxing atmosphere. So,
and a study in contrasts, a great weekend warrior trip can be a little bit further away and packed with activities and a bit more more driving, or it could be at your local favorite where you just tune out the world out and you spend the entire time at the campground just relaxing with friends. So that's our episode on becoming a weekend warrior. But we want to end with a little extra bonus travel tip sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
Progressive gives this tip for RV travel. They said, before taking your pet on a long distance road trip, get them acclimated to traveling by taking them for shorter trips. It will help them get used to sudden movements and noises of being on the road. Be patient. It takes several weeks for them to feel comfortable. And when I read this tip, I was like, it's so true. We did it. We were so smart with Maggie because she had no car experience at all when we got her. And we took her everywhere in our car.
We day trip. We did some real day trips with her.
We just, every time I was running any errands that I didn't have to go inside someplace or whatever, was like, come on, Maggie, let's go to the bank. Like, she now races out that door for the car 2 months and she was raring to go.
On our trip to DC, at one point I was like, where is Maggie? Okay.
I know, we were nervous about her. I was
like, where is she? And she's just like asleep on the floor.
She sleeps. She passes
right
out.
Right at the boy's feet.
Right, in the back of the pickup truck. And I'm like the new mom. I like had my hand on her. Like, is she breathing? Is she okay? Because I was worried about Maggie. She was just fine. She's relaxed, recovering from her campground time.
Hey, so Progressive, thanks for the travel tip. That's just another way that Progressive has you covered while you're out on the road. Thank you so much for listening to episode 83 of RVFTA, Becoming a Weekend Warrior Part 1. Next week, we're going to hit you with Part 2. And Stephanie's got a great interview with Kip, who's the founder and CEO of Fireside Provisions. We're going to talk all about the food that we had from them that was so delicious. And we're going to give you some tips that are specifically going to help you with the whole food aspect of being a weekend warrior. I want to thank Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks. I want to thank Progressive Insurance. I want to thank Campers Inn and RV Trader for sponsoring this show. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening and writing us iTunes reviews and liking our photos on Instagram. I want to thank Stephanie for doing the show notes. I want to thank Maggie for being an awesome camping dog.
Maggie has been the camping dog.
The ideal camping dog. Oh my goodness.
I know. I think everybody was